Welcome to the latest edition of the Big Pod Machine with my colleague Pat Brennan and our great producer Phil Didion. I'm Gordon Wittenmeyer, and as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm in beautiful downtown Marriott in Kansas City, where the Reds this week have taken on the Kansas City Royals. After they said goodbye to their 2025 chances to make the playoffs with that miserable-looking weekend series against the Cubs and those embarrassing late losses, blowing huge leads. They're toast, man. I said last week I'd jump in the river if they win a wild card. I'll jump in the river if they make the playoffs. I'm back to that. So,
Gordon.
So I'm telling you, man. Go ahead.
You and I have a fundamental disagreement here about the Reds standing as it stands today, May 28th. This team is back to 500. And I think there were mitigating circumstances that exacerbated some underlying problems for the Reds in an outsized way against the Cubs. And it started with the Friday night loss. Look, I'm not going to argue with you that those were bad, demoralizing losses, but this season is not over. As soon as you wrote that column, Gordon, the Reds went out to Kansas City against what looks like a decent Royals team. They've already won the series. They're going for the sweep today. I don't care if they sweep it or not. This team has been at or around 500, and when you are in that position at this stage in the season, that is good enough. You are one solid run away from being in contention. And I know what you say about the NL West and all this crap. Those teams are going to cannibalize each other. This season is not done. You do not sell at this stage, Gordon.
I got one word for all of that. Whoopty frickin' do. You know, look, these guys have played 18 games against last place teams. They've played 5 of the 6 last place teams. They're a little over 500 against them. They got 11 wins there. All their positive run differential is in those games. They got minus 12 or 15 run differential against all the other teams and a losing record. They haven't played the Mets, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, or Padres yet, or Phillies. Those are 5 of the probably 7 toughest teams in the majors this year, and they haven't played any of them yet. You know who has? The Chicago freaking Cubs that just embarrassed the Reds over this past weekend. And by the way, that's the next team they play, too. They play the Cubs at Wrigley Field this coming weekend. So unless they do what they did to the Royals up at Wrigley Field, then we're right back where we were before the Kansas City series. I just think that you saw the story I wrote that it's time for them to start thinking about being sellers now at the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah, because, I saw it.
Yeah, and that's how this team was built. This team was built to play from ahead, to take Terry Francona's skill in managing a roster, make the floor stronger because they're relying more on sort of improvements around the edges of the roster with veterans, right? Lux and Austin Hayes, Trevino. They didn't go out and get, a big gun, but they bolstered the pitching to the starting pitching anyway, brought in a couple of relievers. The idea was that they got more veterans that they can rely on to get sort of a baseline performance from, as opposed to some of the maybe higher ceiling young guys that they didn't know, how they might develop going in many cases their second year, sometimes their third year. And then that cost them last year. So the idea was to come into this season, get off to a good start, and then build from there. Well, they've gotten off to a mediocre start at best against the softest schedule they're going to see all year for a 2-month stretch. And the Cubs have played baseball's toughest schedule in the same time frame with the easiest schedule left. And they went into the week facing a 6.5 game deficit. I don't know where the wins are the rest of the way to catch up. And I don't know that this team's built to play catch up. So you might as well, with Terry Francona under contract for 2 more years, you might as well go all in on next year to the best of your ability, because the other thing this team was built for was to sell at the deadline, because they've got short-term veteran assets, a lot of these guys I talked about that they brought in.
Gordon, it's nonsense, man. It's too freaking early. This Cubs series that you're harping on, Hunter Green wasn't even at 100% for his start on Friday night, and he looked great. Now, one of the underlying factors that I think was exacerbated in that series, look, the stretch that we're talking about here, Hunter Green was out with his groin injury. He comes back against the Cubs. He looks good. His start was short, I will grant you that, but he was on a pitch count. He's working back. And with Hunter Green now, you're going to see Hunter Green today, correct?
Last game of the Royals series, yes.
What Hunter Green could be the key to all of this. And with him healthy, I think the sky is the limit. As it is, the Reds are getting good performances from the pitching staff. Nick Martinez and Brady Singer going 7 innings in back-to-back starts in this Royals series. It's the first time that's happened in more than a year, Gordon. And when you see things like these guys keep talking about, they're going to turn a corner, they're going to go on a run. Maybe we're seeing that happen. They've won 3 out of 5, even with losing the Cubs series. And I think that this team's best days are still ahead of them. You don't know that that's not the case, Gordon. You're not a soothsayer the last time I checked. Are you, guy?
Look.
And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you something else.
Mr. Homer.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something else. It's just, we had a conversation last week. More a conversation, less a debate. But I am really, really firm on the idea that it's too freaking early to count almost anyone out in baseball. You know, I'm going to pull something back from a couple things from last year. The Detroit Tigers went on a rampage to claim a wild card spot late last season. On June 1st, Gordon, do you know what their record was?
Not good.
28-30. And how about the Mets? The Mets, who went to the NLCS last year. Do you know what their record was on June 1st last year, Gordon?
I do not. Do you?
They were 10 games under. They were 24-34. More to my point, that as the Reds have floated at or around 500 for basically this entire season.
I don't see Francisco Lindor on this roster. I don't see Pete Alonso on this roster.
Do you see Ellie De La Cruz?
Yeah, and actually he hit a couple of mammoth home runs last night.
Yeah, he did. He looked pretty good, didn't he?
I also see Matt McClain hitting a .180.
Yeah.
I see, you know, Stevenson might be starting to warm up. Friedel looks good in the leadoff spot.
Hayes looked Austin Hayes.
Rice Field hasn't been much of anything. And the bullpen's shaky as hell. As soon as they face good hitting, the bullpen can't handle it. As soon as they face good pitching, the lineup can't score. Go back to Pittsburgh. They allowed 5 runs against Pittsburgh in the series before the Cubs series and lost the series. And Paul Skeens didn't pitch.
Not their best moment. I'll give you that one.
Also, if you want to talk about the Detroit Tigers, I'm going to look something up here, because I already had looked this up. I want to get the numbers right, because I know this applies to the Royals. Here we go. And here. Okay. So what'd you say the Detroit Tigers? They had three.
They were 2 games under. The
AL Central had 3 teams make the playoffs last year. And Nick Kroll brought this up when I was talking about how strong the National League was this year.
Yeah.
And I went and I pointed out that the Detroit Tigers went 10-3, the Royals 12-1. What was the other team that made it? Minnesota and the Minnesota Twins went 12-1, all against the Chicago White Sox, who were in their division and lost a record number of games. There yes. are no Chicago White Sox in the NL Central. That they did go 3-0 against the Rockies when they had a chance to face them, but they're only going to get three more games against the Rockies. The reason three teams made the playoffs out of the AL Central last year is because they beat the holy hell out of the Chicago White Sox. In fact, the Royals had a losing record if you don't count the White Sox games. And they That's got crazy. To the playoffs that, on the strength of that.
Yeah, that is crazy.
The,
yeah.
The difference this year is the National League is freaking loaded. I can't remember in my lifetime, and I'm an old fucker, I can't remember in my lifetime the last time the National League was this good, this deep. There's at least seven teams in that league that have a legitimate claim to think that they can win the pennant and get to the World Series because they've got that kind of talent. And we saw what the difference in that looks like when they went into Atlanta. Atlanta didn't have Spencer Strider yet. They didn't have Ronald Acuña Jr. back yet, but they had a playoff-tested team that played the game the right way and did all the little things right and won three out of four games against the Reds. And it and the difference playing those types of teams shows. Now, with Terry Francona's influence, does that series look different in July and August than it looks like in April and May? Maybe, maybe, and maybe that's what you hold on to. But yeah. I don't see it, man. I don't see it. And I think I'm safe from jumping in the river again.
Gordon, I don't want to jump you with this, but listen, I want to ask you straight up. Your big theme coming into this season, one word, you remember it?
Urgency.
Urgency.
Urgency. I don't see any of that.
Well, but urgency could be demonstrated in several ways this year. And I think it would be the opposite. Look, can this team really afford to go into to start backpedaling in the front office in June and then start publicly kind of giving up on the season later on, closer to the trade deadline, because these guys haven't been, this club, this franchise has not been to the postseason since 2013. We know all that. Haven't won a playoff series in 30 years. Can they afford can they afford to go through August and September not playing meaningful baseball again? I don't think they can.
That's
I really
my point.
Don't. And you're going to lose buy-in from these fans. Everyone was so excited about Tito coming to this franchise and to see what he could do with this roster and the talent coming up to the organization. I think you need to let that breathe for an entire year.
I'll tell you what you can't afford to do, my man. You can't afford to let this window of opportunity get away from you. And by window of opportunity, I am talking about the urgency. I'm talking about Terry Francona under contract for two more years. I'm talking about Ellie De La Cruz and Hunter Green under club control. In one case, under contract for, what, 4.5 more years? Some of the other younger guys are right in that same timeline. Your core is there for, let's just call it Francona's, because I think there's an option here on his contract too. Yeah. So let's call it two or three more years after that. That's what you can't afford to let get away from you. So if this season in this league is a fait accompli, and it's not going to happen now, then you use what resources you have. And Lord knows ownership didn't use the resources it had to maybe make the lineup a little better and go out and get a big gun in the offseason. So as a front office, you got to use the resources you have. And that's some of these short-term guys. I don't know if you trade Brady Singer necessarily. You got another year of club control through arbitration on him after this year. But maybe you do if you get a big enough return. Nick Martinez is a guy who's pitching his ass off. Anybody that does their due diligence on him is going to know the kind of influence he brings to a young group, too, or really any group in a clubhouse.
Yeah.
He's such a good teammate, and he's such a good competitor. You got Emilio Pagan, who's who's pitching way over his head this year. And by that, I mean in the role. He's been pushed into the closer role, and he's really performing. I think he's got 13 out of 15 in save opportunities. He gave up a weird run the other day that has his ERA pushing four. But other than that, he's looked really good. The weird run was on a rainy day, and the mound was wet, and he slipped, and they were forced to call a balk, and that cost him a run. But he's pitched really well, and he's exactly the kind of guy a playoff team wants. And here's the other thing, man. You got guys like this and Scott Barlow and even Austin Hayes, who's hitting the crud out of the ball. He's been a massive part of that lineup. If you don't think you're going to keep him beyond this year, and there's no reason to think you will because he'll go to free agency and play wherever the hell he wants next year, then – you can probably strike and get something for him. The reason I start thinking about this now is because we've seen enough. It's more than one third of the way through the season that it's not really small sample size to know what this team is. But more than that, to know what maybe the Cubs are, at least most of that team. And the Cubs have resources to go out and bolster some of their weaknesses at the trade deadline. And what some of the rest of the National League looks like. They're not getting a wild card. I think we know that. And so they've got to catch the Cubs. And that right now, that looks to me impossible. Like, of course, it's not impossible. Things happen in baseball, but I just don't see the avenue for that. So be proactive, be urgent, go take advantage of what's a seller's market for pitching. There's a ton of teams out there because the National League is so strong. Those top teams, those seven teams going for six spots, they're all looking for help. And the American League is wide open because it's not as strong. Like, everybody's in the wild card over there. There's going to be so many teams looking for help. You can leverage against everybody. And right now, there's not a lot firmly on the market. Everybody talks about Sandy Alcantara. Well, he's not even pitching well down in Miami. Sure, they might sell him, but they're not going to sell him until he's pitching well. And he hasn't done that yet. But you've got some guys now if you wanted to. Go see what the market bears. Maybe you don't trade them now. Maybe you trade them in July, but you better be making those phone calls. You better be looking at next year. And if you go get guys that are AAA guys on the verge, some pretty good prospects, throw in an A-ball guy here and there that has upside, you set yourself up for these 2-3 years we're talking about after this one.
Gordon, it's a nonsense, man. I really feel strongly about this, buddy. I expect Nick Kroll and Brad Meador to do their due diligence in the open market. Make the calls. See if you can improve this team. If there's a convincing case to be made.
You're saying they should buy?
No, I'm saying I expect them to be doing their due diligence regardless of what the team is doing, what the record is today on May 28th.
Yeah.
But I don't think they should sell yet. Put out feelers. So we're not there yet. Do we get there eventually? Maybe.
What's your line of demarcation here? What's your decision day? If it's not Memorial Day or a third of the way through the season?
All-Star game.
There's only like 2 weeks left to the trade deadline at that point. Two and a half weeks.
That's fine. That's a plan. When do most of the deals come down anyway?
They come down at... right at the end, typically, because there's been conversations for a month.
And they can have the conversations, but I'm saying I don't want this team. I want a plan for every contingency. I want a plan for if this team finds itself 8 games over at the All-Star break, Gordon. I want a contingency. If they're 15 games under at the All-Star break, then I'm going to lean more heavily toward, a lot more heavily, toward the stance that you, the flag
and I might
you,
jump in
that
the
you
river.
Planted.
If they're 8 games over at the deadline, I might. Or at the
Watch yourself. You better get your bathing suit ready because they've got a soft, soft schedule coming in the last homestand before the All-Star break.
All right, let me ask you this. If I'm right, are you jumping in the river?
Sure. I'll jump in the – I will – absolutely.
You're going to jump in the river if they don't make the playoffs?
Yeah, I will jump.
You're going to jump in a river if this team doesn't make the playoffs.
I will jump in the dirty, disgusting Ohio River if this team doesn't make the playoffs. It's what I look. I said this team.
You know, I'm going to hold you to this. I'm going to hold you to this.
Fine.
Like, I'm not joking when I say I'll jump in the river if they make the playoffs.
Look, man, I feel like I've seen what this team is capable of, and I think they are. I have always thought, and will still think, they are the third wild card in the National League.
Wow.
I disagree with you. I really disagree with you on the National League West. Those four teams that are supposed to be in the mix, they are going to, and the Diamondbacks are already falling off with that pace a little bit. I think those teams are going to cannibalize each other. It's not like the third wild card is just.
Yeah, but they're going to beat the hell out of everybody else.
No, they're not.
And the Rockies, they have the equivalent of the White Sox in their division. They got the Rockies.
The math is going to math out, Gordon, okay? The math is going to work itself out because these teams in the NL West are going to brutalize each other. Let's not pretend like we haven't seen deep fields out of the NL playoff contestants in this expanded playoff era. You know, the NL East produced 200-win teams in 2022, and the third wild card was still hanging there. It's always going to be there. I think it's math. I think it's probability. It's always going to be there, dangling, waiting for a team just like the Reds. Every year, Gordon, we see teams come out of nowhere.
Not the Reds. We haven't seen it for what? 15, 12 years? 12 years we haven't seen them get there in a full season. We haven't seen them win in October in 30. Man, I'm going to look so forward to you jumping in the river. Hey, you know who else is going to hold you to that? Francona. Who? You know why?
Why?
Because I stole the idea from Paul Hoynes in Cleveland. In 2016, late in the season, he said, if this team gets to the World Series, as a matter of fact, it might have been going into the playoffs, and they were talking about, you know, we're going to try to get to the World Series. We're going to try to get to the – if this team gets to the World Series, I'm jumping in Lake Erie. Well, they did, against all odds, get to the World Series. And the local TV cameras were out there as Paul Hoynes jumped in Lake Erie. And Francona knows all about it. So I'm going to tell him we got a bet going.
And when one of us is taking the dive.
One of us is jumping in the frickin' river.
That person is going to be glowing. That person is going to be glowing green with radiation when they get out.
Yeah, I feel bad for you, Pat.
I don't. Well, I'm going to be sipping a cocktail at the Ludlow Bromley Yacht Club as you float down the river, and I'll be waving like this, Gordon, as you float by.
Well, that's probably the perfect place to end this one. And we can pick up next week and see who's making progress on the river dive.
River Jump Watch 2025.
River Jump Watch. Absolutely. All right. I like this. I like how this is shaping up. This is way more exciting than watching the Reds.
I got to get in on the river jump stuff because I want some skin in the game because I don't want you to be the only one having fun.
Your skin will be showing in the game. That's for sure.
I know. I better hit the gym.
That's right, because you're going in the water. All right. With that, we'll end this week's episode of the Big Pod Machine. Thanks for listening. And now you got to tune in next week when we see who's getting closer to the water, Pat or me. So for my partner, Pat Brannon, and our great, great producer, Phil Didion, I'm Gordon Wittenmeyer. Thanks for listening to the Big Pod Machine.